Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, listening to the recording, and so glad to have you with us in fellowship this evening. What a wonderful God we serve, a very present help in every time of need, and He does hear and answer prayers, no doubt about it. Praise His holy name. Our opening song for tonight's service is Don't Forget the Sabbath. And as we draw closer to the end, we know that this is going to be more and more important for all of God's people to recognize. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship Him today, who said to His disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, He'll give us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind Thou art! How precious is Thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Best friend of sinners.
Amen. The Lord of the Sabbath. And once people recognize that Christ is our Creator and He created the Sabbath and that He doesn't change, then the very same Sabbath that He kept holy when He walked on this earth is the very same Sabbath He's keeping holy in these last days and forevermore, as Isaiah 66 tells us. From one new moon and from one Sabbath to another, we'll go and worship our God, from whom all blessings flow throughout eternity. And what a joy that's going to be. Well, before we get into our study book, Patriarchs and Prophets, it's time for opening prayer. And who would like to offer that for us? Please feel free to do so.
Our loving Father in heaven, happy Sabbath. Thank you for a happy Sabbath start and a progression, and those that are preparing still or about to welcome it in. Thank you for making it possible to have another one so we can spend time to come closer to Thee and understanding Your will for our life today on the Sabbath. of the Lord our God. I want to thank you that are making this again available to connect with brothers and sisters around the world who are your children. And I ask that you'll bless those that are planning to continue to come in, that they won't have any issues coming in. And those that will be listening to the recording as well would be blessed as they listen to it when they listen to it. And the recordings of all things that are done in the desire to share present truth will continue to stand. And thank you for protecting it and preserving truth in a myriad of ways and all at the same time. We uphold our brethren and sisters that are meeting in your name, that their meetings will be intensely interesting just as we seek to participate and make ours interesting, believing in the word of God to speak to us as if Jesus was in our house and talking to us directly by name, and especially speaking to our heart and its condition. Looking forward to seeing parallels with today and ancient old Israelite times and the relationship that God had with them and they with God, and to catch every single ray of light. Help us hold on to the ray of lights we already have flashing upon our pathway, so indeed we can receive more because we recognize it, because we're holding on to what we already have and living up to it by the grace of God. Thank you for blessing the dear neighbor, dear sister Lynn's brother-in-law, Santos, for giving him a whole new lease on life. We pray he would see this as an opportunity, if he hasn't already, to either commit himself to the Lord or recommit if he is a Christian, and see the privileges as just what's just taken place as being the very thing that takes place for the non-Christian who becomes a Christian and gets a new life, one that whose sins are forgiven that are past, that they might walk in newness of life just as Christ rose from the dead, our sin bearer, who's going to come back without sin bearing to take his own home, the pardoned, blood-washed throng who trust him with their whole life. Thank you for this high calling, the highest of callings that we could ever have, ever will have. Help us do the work of missionaries, that the work that's so large, but yet to you is really nothing of a hard nature for you. I mean, you don't even need us. You could have it done by today. You could have had it done a long time ago, but this was not your plan. It was to use fallen, frail human beings to share the plan of salvation of what God can do for a forgiven, forsaking of sins individuals right around the world. And we thank you that this truth is going forward, the everlasting gospel of the four angels' messages, the last message to go to the world to prepare them to stand in the great controversy between good and evil, the false Christ and the true Christ. Bless our speaker, give him the power from on high to speak forth the impressions you make upon his heart and any others that are participating right now. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen. And praise the Lord, dear brother. We're continuing in our study book, Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 61. That's titled Saul Rejected. And we left off, not quite a third of the way down on page 628 to the paragraph that starts out, the forbearance that God has exercised. And the last thing that we were discussing was that God had sent Samuel to King Saul with another message. In other words, here's another test coming. Saul had failed the first big test of his rulership, but God didn't set him aside at that time. He warned him, but God still allowed him to maintain his rulership as captain of the people. But he sent him another test. And as we get through this test, it really wasn't that tremendous or hard to follow of tests. God just basically said, do this. And, you know, that's my will. And Saul was not to allow any of the Amalekites, anything connected with them, not even their possessions, living possessions, to remain alive. Everything was to die, to be killed. And we learned that the symbolic or the spiritual representation of that is the Amalekites within our sins, habits of sins, anything connecting us to sin. All of that needs to be crucified. It needs to die, to be mortified within us. Nothing is to be allowed to live if we want to be sons and daughters of the Most High. We can't do it in our own strength, just as Saul couldn't do it in his own strength. But a combination of divine power and human effort will bring the destruction of every bit of sin within us. So then what did Saul do? Well, let us continue. But as we read through this, what will you do regarding the enemies within? And so we pick it up at this new paragraph. The forbearance that God has exercised toward the wicked emboldens men in transgression, but their punishment will be nonetheless certain and terrible for being long delayed. The Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Isaiah 28:21. To our merciful God, the act of punishment is a strange act. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Ezekiel 33:11. The Lord is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Yet he will by no means clear the guilty. Exodus 34:6-7. While he does not delight in vengeance, he will execute judgment upon the transgressors of his law. He is forced to do this, to preserve the inhabitants of the earth from utter depravity and ruin. In order to save some, he must cut off those who have become hardened in sin. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Nahum 1:3. By terrible things in righteousness, he will vindicate the authority of his downtrodden law. And the very fact of his reluctance to execute justice testifies to the enormity of the sins that call forth his judgments, and to the severity of the retribution awaiting the transgressor. quite a lot in this paragraph. Are there any thoughts, comments, insights, questions before we continue?
If God let one person in that chose to sin, he'd have to let the devil in too. And God says that the sin will not go on forever. So that's why sinners that choose to sin have to die.
Sorry, brother, you're garbled again. I'm not sure why. So why don't you head out and come back in, and we'll let you take the mic immediately.
Yeah, he sounded like he had a terrible cold with a raspy throat.
I'm not sure why his internet connection does that. It must just drop below a certain threshold that allows there to be just the slightest bit of lag with his voice in the signal, the audio signal. Yeah, that's true. When he prayed, everything was great. It just, for some reason, the connection changes a bit when he takes the mic. And then it clears up sometimes, which is weird. But he'll be right back in.
Am I swimming underwater? Oh, I am. Oh, thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. I was just going to add to what Sister Joan was saying. I think it's marvelous that of all the wickedness that happens, it's said regularly by unbelievers that there just can't be a God. And though you could share with them time and again retributive judgments for the saving of the righteous, the few, to avoid them overtaking and corrupting the world entirely, like in the day of Noah and in the area of where Lot was living, Sodom and Gomorrah, that it's beautiful how she ends the paragraph, because she's saying that as retributive as it will be, it will just go to show just how long suffering God was for this to be the ultimate conclusion. Not because he finds joy in it, but because the lost really don't want to live for the glory of God, and they don't want to serve him.
Amen. Well, notice in this paragraph, this sentence. It says, God is forced to do this, or in other words, to execute judgment, in order to preserve the inhabitants of the earth from utter depravity and ruin. And you brought up the fact Sodom and Gomorrah. God had given two angelic messages to the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. The only ones that followed it was Lot, his wife, and two unmarried daughters. And even then, the angels had to take them by the hands and bring them out of the corrupt city. So in other words, they were forced out. But just because they were forced out means they didn't make the decision themselves to leave. And that cost, amen, they didn't make the decision from the heart. That cost Mrs. Lot her life. She didn't make the decision to leave. She was forced out. So that is an argument directly against those who believe that they're to stay in a corrupt apostate church until they're kicked out. They haven't made the decision to leave. They've been forced to leave. And that means their heart may still be connected with the corrupt church. But here we see that God is forced to execute judgment, to destroy those that are become hardened in sin. In other words, their probation is closed. There's no chance to save them. So even though God doesn't want to slay the wicked, doesn't want to see a single person lost, when they have crossed the point of no return, then God at times allows judgment to be executed. And even then, it's out of mercy. If they've crossed the point of no return and their probation is closed, all they're going to do is commit sin. And that's going to add to their record of sin. That's going to add to their punishment at the end of time, the end of the 1,000 years. That's just going to increase the pain and suffering they endure. And so God, in mercy, allows their life to end, saving them from future time of torment. But it's more than that. As we read, God does so to preserve the inhabitants of the earth from utter depravity and ruin. If the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah would have continued to be allowed to live, they would have spread their corruption, their immorality, their perversion of natural law to every civilization they could reach. And so to preserve innocence from that type of depravity and ultimately ruin, God allowed Sodom and Gomorrah to perish. But he first sent a message to separate. Does God change? Nope. So, Babylon has fallen as fallen, is become a habitation of devils, a hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Her sins have reached unto heaven. In other words, her probation's closed. She's doomed for destruction, and everyone connected with Babylon, all the fallen churches throughout the world, are going to die along with Babylon. But before God allows the judgment to be executed, he sends the message of the loud cry. The angel of Revelation 18 connected with the third angel. Again, two angels' messages coming to all the inhabitants of the earth, calling them out of Babylon, so that they will not be corrupted and a partaker of her sins and thus share her punishment. what a merciful God we serve. And he is. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions? Please go right ahead.
I see something that is, I'm just coming to kind of notice it right now because of the situation of the quote unquote social distancing and things like that. And I separated from the apostate church years ago. And right now with the, again, social distancing and things like that, my mom usually comes with me and has been enjoying the messages and things like that. But the enemy always wants to try and step in. And lately, some of her church members have been asking her, well, they have set up some kind of, I guess, online situation like what we have. And they've, I don't want to say pressure, but they've been asking her to come in. With her not being computer savvy, they say, well, doesn't your daughter know about the computer? Can't she, you know, bring you in or what have you? And my thing is, at least this is how I see it, and I guess I'm asking for suggestions and I'm praying about it. I see it that if I do that, it would kind of be like confusion to have her set up or to go into quote unquote their meeting or what have you. It would be just the same as if I would be going to their church. I don't do that. You know, I separated years ago. And I think she's a little at odds with me. But I don't know how to explain to her that it would be the same as if I would be attending the service because she doesn't know the computer, so I would be working the computer. So me working the computer would be that I'd be sitting in on the server, quote-unquote service or what have you, and I don't want to do that. So I guess if you would just pray with me how to resolve that or any suggestions that you might have.
I understand, dear sister, and it's a somewhat delicate issue, but there is a line upon which we cannot cross. And since God has called us out from those places where error is spoken from the pulpit to the people, then we're not to go to those places where error is spoken. Now, that can be spoken on the radio. That can be spoken from the internet, you know, online home church, you know. So today, in this day and age, you don't have to go and sit in a pew in order to hear error spoken to you from the pulpit. You can do so in an online home church. But it also says if God leads you to go to those places, then it's for the purpose of, passing out literatures, speaking the truth, reaching some honest-hearted individual with the gospel. But if we go on our own authority without God leading us, then how could God protect us from the error that's spoken? He's called us out. He's warned us not to listen to it. So if we go without God specifically leading us to go, then that is presumption. And God cannot protect us from the error that's spoken, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on the radio, TV, or in, you know, a literal church. So in having to explain that to an individual, you know, is where God can give you the wisdom and the words to share. Now, they may not understand it. They may not like what you share. But God would give you the words, and then the Holy Spirit could take those words and impress it upon their heart. So I think one important thing to bring out is that the church is corrupt. It's positioned on error. It's sharing that error with others. But the people of the church are to be reached with the truth. So the enemy is not the people. The enemy is the church that stands for the error, just as our enemy is Babylon, but it's not the people within Babylon. God has a message for those precious church members, and he's using us to reach them. So letting them know that the people are precious in God's sight. It's the system that's corrupt, and that is corrupting the people. And there's no way that the people can become pure while they're connected with a corrupt system. There's just no way.
Amen, and thank you so much, Elder Rob. And I agree, you know, with all of your comments, and thank you all for your kind comments and prayers. And my thing is, and no, I mean, the people there are kind-hearted for the most part, you know, and the ones that she, you know, mentions and speaks to, and they, of course, because it's been so many weeks now, they call her to see that she's okay, and I understand this. And her not being computer savvy or even, bless her heart, telephone savvy, even with the flip phone, you know, I'm the one that helps her with that. And, you know, when I saw that it's coming down to even her pastor called her this past week and made sure that she had the link to where they are having services. And she did mention to them, she says, well, you know, it sounds like something like what my daughter does, and I'm attending church services with her and I enjoy it. And we have brethren that come from around the world, and it's really a lot of fun. I like it, you know. And more people, members of, you know, where she's been going, have been contacting her this week. And I just find it so interesting that how all of a sudden they're able to call her and say these things. And true enough, it's not the people themselves, but if I separate it from the apostate church, I also believe that even to open even a small crack, which would be putting that service up on my computer for her to go, which she cannot do the computer. I would be the one working the computer. So it will be as though I'm attending the service and I can't do it. I can't. When I left the apostate church, I didn't just do it frivolously. I prayed and I fasted about it for many days, yea, even weeks, because I couldn't understand that maybe this was, I wanted to make sure that it was what God really wanted. And I went through a lot back then, as maybe most of us have that were in the SDA church and then came out. And at that time, I was working at the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and my bosses there, you know, they said, oh, well, I needed pastoral counseling because surely God was not telling me to, quote, leave the church. And I said, I don't feel as though I'm leaving the church, but yet following God. And family members, my uncle, my mom's brother, I mean, became belligerent, saying, how dare I? You know, who did I think I was? And did I think I was better than everybody else? And when I suggested, please, can we pray, Uncle Jay? And he's like, what, you think just because you can pray that you think you're better? It was just a whole situation. And, I mean, it was a time I had to make sure I was doing the right thing. I said, Lord, am I doing the right thing? And, I mean, the very Sabbath that I said, okay, I'm not going to this church anymore, here in Florida, which was where at that time my sister was still living. And I was supposed to be on service. I play the flute. I think many of you know that. And so I was on service that Sabbath to sing with my sister and play the flute. And yet in my morning devotion, it was very clear that the Lord was saying, don't go. While my mom and my sister were ready to go out the door, and they saw that I wasn't ready, and they said, well, what's going on? And I said, the Lord said that I should not be going there anymore. And they're like, what do you mean? The Lord said, for you not to go to church. That can't possibly be right. What are you talking about? And so it's been a struggle. And so then now all these years, and now this, because of the COVID or what have you, but I see that it's something more than that. You know, I just believe that the enemy would try in any way. He's a defeated foe for sure. So I don't know. I just solicit prayer to stay strong for the Lord, and that, you know, I enjoy my mom sitting here with me, what have you. But I think that, you know, she's a little riff with me because I know that she wanted to go to the service that they had. And I'm sorry, but I just can't. And I've explained it to her, even those quote unquote Sabbath school lessons that she does. And many times I've tried to explain to her, you know, there's a lot of error there. You know, I mean, they use the NIV version and not the King James version. And I've tried to explain this. So now all I can do is pray. You know, I don't know what else to do. And many times I feel, you know, we all are by ourselves, but I mean, I feel even more by myself because I'm literally social distance in my own house from my own mother. But anyway, not to take up the time, but if you just keep that in prayer, dear brother, and I thank you, and thank you for indulging me.
Thank you for explaining the situation, dear sister, and we will indeed be keeping you in prayer. But it has to do more with just you not going to church. There is a responsibility issue that's connected with this, because your mother wants you to get on to the other church's website, to a live church service or even a recorded church service, and be there to help her through the service. That makes you an associate. So you can look at it in more simpler terms. If you knew that something was poison and your loved one didn't see that it was poison and wanted you to prepare the poison mixture for them, would you do so? And of course the answer is no. And the reason is you don't want to see your loved one harmed. Okay? So in this situation, you see that the church that she wants to listen to or attend the service online is preaching error, is standing for error. That is spiritual poison, because there is no error that can sanctify. So it's unsanctified. And if you believe the error, then you cannot be sanctified through that error. You're unsanctified because of that error. And that is poison to the spiritual life. So you've made the right decision not to help your mother attend that service on the internet, because it would be the same thing as you taking that poison mixture and giving it to her. You would be responsible, partly responsible, for that spiritual ruin. So I agree 100%, dear sister, with your decision that you cannot help your mother attend that church service. You would be responsible for her doing so. So when you can share with individuals the reason why and bring it down to very simple, basic terms, you see that it's poison. And out of love for them, you are not going to help poison them. And as this is in a spiritual situation, you're not going to help ruin their spiritual walk with God. And perhaps that will help them to understand your convictions. And of course, when they say, well, where do you find the truth for this conviction? Well, that opens up. That opens up Revelation 18. And the whole crux of the matter, the whole root of the problem can be brought out. So in taking the stand like you have biblical backing. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. You're not agreed with the error that's taught from the pulpit. So then you cannot walk with them. You cannot aid your mother in walking with them either. So, but we will indeed be keeping your precious mom and yourself and your family members in our prayers. And Lord willing, they'll be able to see the truth and be convicted right along with you, dear sister.
So, blessings, everyone. And just like to share a bit of a comment that I learned. Well, do any of you guys have a garden in your backyard or your front yard? Well, these past few weeks, I've been learning a bit about gardening and being what kind of spiritual insights they have on it. One of the ones I learned so far that can go along with what we'll learn about is about disease and pests, and even about weeds. It says in this spot that there's also a certain number of insects that may try to even harm the plants. It says, when buying seeds, look for varieties that are disease resistant. They're usually listed in seed catalogs. To avoid the threat of plant disease and attacks of certain insects and other small pests, you could either water before mid-afternoon, keep the garden weed-free and debris-free from such things as dead leaves and stems. Disease, bacteria, and fungi live among plant debris. Keeping a healthy garden will keep disease and pests away. It's easier said than done, especially with this coronavirus moving around. Anyway, it says in Nahum 3:16, watch for any signs of damaged leaves, because the canker worm spoileth and fleeth away. Diseases in plants can picture what happens when false doctrine infects the soul of the Christian. Spirituality is bled when Christians harbor the idea that keeping God's law is not necessary. They become infected with the code of morality followed by the multitude among whom they live. Instead of giving an example to the world of a higher standard of morality, they become stunted, diseased, and lose their virtuous influence. God's people will resist the diseased doctrine of the commandments of men that will spread like a deadly plague throughout Christendom in the last days. They will honor the Sabbath rather than Sunday. As disease and pest threaten to destroy the garden, so Satan has ever tried to destroy God's obedient children. In the end, he will put forth even more effort to do so. But the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them, that do iniquity. Matthew 13:41. And the part about weeds here says, where is it? It says here that weeds shelter pests and also take nourishment and space from garden plants. When your plants are big enough to tell the difference from weeds, you gotta remove the weeds. Dig or pull them out of their roots. Weeds thrive in uncultivated soil. Diligent till of some kind is necessary to subdue them. The thorns and weeds are like the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. they choke out the word and the seed becomes unfruitful. A thorough reading of the sins in our lives must take place, that we may become pure in heart and ready for the second coming. Shallow surface work will not be enough. The roots of sin must be removed, otherwise the evil deeds will reappear after a while. That can be said so with the sentence Elder Rob underlined in the screen. God had to remove who made the sinful people because they already reached their point, and because they kept sinning and they refused to change. It's also the same thing when a gardener has to take away the weeds, because if he doesn't, then it will take away some of the nutrients that the other healthy plants need. And they can even be homes to several little insects that may be harmful to the plants. So no flowers or vegetables or any crops will be able to grow. Just as that is necessary, so it was necessary for God in order to get rid of sin. Sometimes the guilty people, like the Sodomites and even the people in Noah's day, had to be gotten rid of. Otherwise, sin would have corrupted this whole planet. But there's also good in it. We can also make sure these spiritual weeds don't rise up in people that we know. The more we preach to them, the less likely they'll think of sinning and just choose to follow God just like we do. And so that way they won't have any sinful weeds in their life. And that's all I want to give.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. And if having a garden has taught me anything, is that when you see a weed that's starting to go to flower, you better get it out of there quick. Because once it flowers, it seems like in just a few days, the flower has gone to seed. And once those seeds spread, it's drastically harder to eliminate that particular type of weed out of the garden. So definitely when you see them in flower, get them out of there. But amen. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions? Please go right ahead. So in order to preserve the inhabitants of the earth from utter depravity and ruin, God executes judgment upon those whose probation has closed. And so now you can see why all the wicked in this world, in the end, will have to be destroyed to preserve the universe from utter depravity and ruin. And so the only individuals that are not going to be destroyed are those that have overcome depravity and escaped ruin. In other words, those that have chosen to follow the truth. And those that have given up error. It's error that led the devil into sin in the first place. It's error that leads people and churches into sin today. So we must give up all error in order to escape all sin. And if we give up all error, all that's left is the truth. If we follow the truth, then we will not commit sin. So it's basically a battle between truth and error, between Christ and Satan. Now, this is the great controversy. And not everyone is going to see it in those clear terms, because emotions, attachments come in and cloud up the picture, keep it from being clearly understood. And Christ mentioned that, you know, if we allow our attachments to our parents or to our children or to our friends or brothers and sisters, other loved ones, if we allow our attachments, our affections to anyone to take us away from following the truth, then we're not worthy of Jesus. So we cannot allow our affection for others, including our dearly loved ones, keep us from following the truth. But notice here that God sees the end result. And before the end result has occurred, before the wicked are destroyed, God in mercy sends a message of mercy, of warning, to separate from the coming destruction. Even with the Amalekites came a message of separation. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
But while inflicting judgment, God remembered mercy. The Amalekites were to be destroyed, but the Kenites who dwelt among them were spared. This people, though not wholly free from idolatry, were worshippers of God and were friendly to Israel. Of this tribe was the brother-in-law of Moses, Hobab, who had accompanied the Israelites in their travels through the wilderness, and by his knowledge of the country had rendered them valuable assistance.
Amen. Amen. So it says here that the Amalekites were to be destroyed, but the Kenites who dwelt among them were spared. How were the Kenites or the Kenites spared? Why weren't they involved in the same destruction?
They worshiped God.
Weren't they living in and amongst the Amalekites? And weren't they told to separate from them?
Amen. Amen. Now, this paragraph doesn't bring that out, but the Bible does. So word, Saul specifically sent messengers to the Kenites and told them to leave from the Amalekites. So there was a message of separation that came before the Amalekites were to be destroyed. And that was because of the merciful kindness of God. It's the same today with the fallen churches of Babylon. God is sending the same message of separation. Escape for your lives. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Don't have any connection whatsoever with Babylon, or you will be destroyed along with them. That same message of separation is sounding today. All because of the merciful kindness of God. He doesn't want to see any innocent caught up in destruction of the wicked. If they choose to stay there, then they're no longer innocent. They've chosen to remain among the wicked, which makes them wicked. Can you keep yourself clean if you intentionally walk into a muddy pool of water? The answer is no. Part of you may be kept clean, but your feet, or however you entered that muddy pool, is going to become contaminated with the mud. It's the same principle with fellowshipping with a corrupt church. There's no way that you can maintain your purity of faith or purity of life by associating willingly with the wicked. So God in mercy sends a message for his people to escape from among the wicked so that they can be spared, so that they can be separated from the error, from the corruption that is found within those groups. And his mercy is based on love. So really this message of separation is a message of love. The message not to associate with the ungodly is based on love. The message not to compromise with error is based on love. And it's only those who love God that will follow those messages. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Please go right ahead.
I was thinking about the love of God with the Kenites. They were not wholly free from idolatry, but they were worshipers of God. And that says an awful lot about the love of God, because he gives you time. He sees that you're complying, that you will find it out, and you might make the right decision, but he gives you time. He doesn't force. He just kind of lures you in with the love. I like that.
Amen. Amen. So, and I'm glad you brought that up, dear sister, because it shows here that God accepts you where you are in your walk, whether you're at the very beginning of your walk or whether you're farther along. He accepts you where you are. So with the Kenites, they were not wholly free from idolatry, which means they were believing error, but they were worshipers of God. In other words, they were honest. And because of their honest-heartedness, God sent the message of mercy to them to separate. And when they separated, they still had a lot of unlearning to do, a lot of errors to give up, and a lot more truth to embrace. But that is a process. So they didn't have to be 100% in the truth before God sent them the message to separate. He reached them where they were in their Christian walk, because they were honest of heart. They were not wholly bent to do evil. There was still hope for them. And that is the merciful kindness of God. When God asked us to separate and we separated, there was still a lot of things we needed to learn and unlearn. But God saw that we had honesty of heart, that we desired to know. And then he tested us. You see that this church is not following me. They haven't been following me for years. They're not going to follow me. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to separate so that you can come out and no longer be associated with the error, so that you can then see more clearly what is error and what is truth, and then over time give up the error and embrace the truth? If you can't endure the test of separating from a church that is in apostasy and is unwilling to change, there's no way that you can pass through the greater tests that are coming. So when you look at all the intensity of the tests that God is going to allow to occur to you in order to prepare you for heaven, one of the minor tests is recognizing that a church you love is apostate from God and that you need to leave it. On the scale of tests, that's minor compared to the greater tests that you'll have to endure. So if you will not decide to leave a fallen church, there's no way that you'll be able to pass the greater tests. And when we're going through it, having to leave the church is a gigantic test. It's not easy. But in comparison, it was necessary. It prepared us for the greater test, and then a greater test beyond that, and then a greater test beyond that. All because of the love and merciful kindness of God towards me, towards you, and others. And praise his name. True. Jeremiah 12:5, quotation put in the room. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Very true. But praise God for his grace and strength and the Holy Spirit impressing the truth on our hearts and empowering us to follow it. If it wasn't for them, there's no way that we could have done so. So amen. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? We'll go ahead and stop here, and we'll pick it up next time at the bottom of 628, at the paragraph that starts out, since the defeat of the Philistines at Michmash. So are there any thoughts or anything you'd like to share, dear ones?
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Hugs and love to all. Bye. Well, it's been an interesting week. In the state of Florida, actually state of confusion more than anything else, but especially where I am, like I said, it's getting very strange out here, and I know that it's going to get worse, but the people are really being corralled like sheep. I mean, literally corralled, and I'm watching these people and I'm saying, gosh, don't they realize anything? Don't they see anything? You know, and by the way, I was blessed this week with a box of tracts. Thank you, my friends. And came just in handy, just in time, because it's always on time. So I had them. But I'll tell you what happened. I was going to go into town. This is the first time I've left in, well, it'll be a while. I stay kind of
to myself, I don't go too far. And then when I did go, it was horrific. We had tornadoes out here. And even down by Sister Lynn, praise God, everybody was safe. But where I was, they had tornadic events and pretty bad. Hail. And I'm saying, okay, where's the brimstone? Now I'm waiting for everything else to come. But anyhow, I had to go into town. I had to pick up, I had to go to the pharmacy. So in the meantime, I went there. And because of the weather, I had my lights on. Obviously, you know, if it's raining, you have to have your lights on. And I had my phone charging because I forgot to charge it prior to that. Okay. So in the meantime, I had stopped. There's a, in the next town over, there's a Walmart. And I said, you know, let me just run in there just to see if there's anything going on. And lo and behold, I saw how they were getting everybody in and out and the lines on the floor and how they were bringing you in and so forth. I said, okay. So I went in, I kind of wandered around, picked up a thing or two, and I left. I said, praise the Lord. Then I went on to my next stop, and that was fine. And when I came out, not only was it torrential rains, my car had died. It wouldn't start. I all day long from 7 in the morning, I had my lights on, my phone charging, and never paid attention because I was so quick to jump out of the car and out of the rain, you know, that I never paid mind to it. And as far as the bells whistling and who's what, I never paid much of nothing. So I said, oh, good grief. I said, what am I going to do now? So I went back into the store that I'd left, and I asked if anybody had jumper cables. Now here, everyone's walking around here with facial masks and gloves on. You feel like a burglar when you walk into the store. Okay, because being I'm a shy person, and I walked into the store, I said, excuse me, can I get your attention, please? Because most of them know me there. And I did. I felt like they said, oh, no, here's a masked bandit coming in. I said, does anybody have a jumper cables? And no one had jumper cables. I said, okay. Now, normally I carry a jump box in my car in the event that this ever happens or somebody might need my help. But I had a wonderful visit with Sister Lynn the other day, and we decided to have a tailgate picnic because we had to keep social distance. So I came up with the idea of opening up the back of my, I have a Nissan Pathfinder, so I opened up the back of my Pathfinder, made a picnic, put our chairs 6 foot apart, you know, the whole deal. Anyway, I had taken out my jump box out of the car, and I said, let me charge it. Well, when I went out the next day, lo and behold, it was sitting up on my porch, so that didn't work. Everybody that came in and out trying to run out of the rain, I asked them if they had jumper cables. Nobody. I went back in my car, and I sat there, and I said, please, Lord. I said, you know, I have to get home. My dogs are home. Some of them are penned up. I need to get home. Now, you all know me better than most. Most of the time, I have pictures to confirm everything, animals, wild things, all kinds. But I don't have any pictures to confirm this. But I'll tell you what, within minutes of my prayer in the pouring rain, there came a car next to me with a young boy. I bet you he was, if he was 24 years old, he had to be old. And he had his girlfriend with him. And they were coming out of their vehicle, and I came out, and he said, yes, ma'am. I said, do you all have any jumper cables? He says, no, we don't. He said, you know, we can ask around for you. I said, I've already done that. He said, you know what? I learned a trick a long time ago, something about the ignition. If you turn it a certain way, the opposite way, he said, sometimes that'll help kick the car if you have a new battery. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And I said, there's no way that's going to happen. So in the meantime, he said, why don't you go sit down in your car? Calm down. He said, you'll be fine. I said, okay. I said, I'm willing to try anything at this point. And I went in there and sat down in my car. He said, now look. He said, now shut the door and the windows. everything's going to be okay. I went in there, sat down, shut the door and the windows, and the car started. I said, thank you very much. And by the time I got out of the parking lot, they were gone. History. And I live in a little town where you can count the people on your hands. They were gone. You know, I said, thank you very much. I got in the car, you know, and I set myself up, you know, getting ready to leave and whatever not. And I said, you know, before they leave, let me just say another honk honk and thank you very much and whatever the case. They were gone. And so once again in my life, I have to believe that God sent me an angel, no matter what they look like, to me, to help me. Cause I had two choices. I could have called my neighbor and they're older folks. They would have come. I know that for a fact. Cause I already had talked to them. And in the meantime, just that quick, long enough for me to say, please, dear Lord, let me get home. I need to get home, please. And that was it. I didn't have an elaborate prayer. I didn't come up with fancy words. God knows me. I'm just about as crude and unpolished as there can be. So I don't think he would expect anything else from me at that time. But in the meantime, so I'm praising the God for that. That's my testimony for this week. I mean, that was once again, and I wasn't close to home at all. There would be no way for me to get back. Because like I said, I was in the little town over, and it was so bad, the raining. If I had called AAA to come, it would have been hours. Their ETA would have been hours to come to where I was. So I praise God for that situation. In the meantime, I also praise God. I guess there's a lot of friends of mine that are getting these checks that are coming in, whatever they are. Not everybody, like where I am, not everybody's gotten anything. I don't know if they're supposed to come or they're not come. I'm not really up on all the politics savvy stuff. Brother Rob, you would probably know more about that kind of stuff, I guess, if you, cause you study things like that. But, you know, it seems like some of the people over here are trying to hold on to the end. I think a lot of people are at their end's wits. And I've seen it out here where there's a school bus that does come out and they park by the little tiny store that we have in town to feed the kids every morning. Praise God for that. They're escorted by a policeman and they have food because the kids normally used to get breakfast and lunch at school, especially the ones that don't have any money. And they'll come out there and they give them little things like that, you know, like a little sandwich and a banana or, you know, whatever it is. So at least they have some kind of food. So I thought that that was a blessing in itself. You know, and these are people that are, nobody has any money over here where I live. They're just regular people and everybody's trying to survive with their families and friends. And most of them are, I wouldn't even say Sunday keepers. They're just, I don't know what they are. But I pass out tracts and I leave out books. And, you know, even at the little gas station, it's like a 2-pump gas station, and that's the only thing in town to get gas if you want it. And I always leave books there, like Steps to Christ, The Great Controversy. And, this week, because I was blessed, I left tracts out there. And, you know, so I'm hoping that people pick them up because that's the only place for them to go. And, in these bad times that we have right now, you know, people don't really know where to go, what to do. And, yeah, this is a good time for them to get closer to Jesus. If they don't know Jesus, then instead of getting closer, this is time to get to know him. You know, because you, we can see it every day. It's black and white in the world. The world is getting more wicked every day. And, it's just very apparent that people are scared, unknowledge. And at the end wits, especially the ones out here with kids, I've had several of them call me, do you need any yard work? Do you need this? Do you need that? Because they're all looking for a penny to feed their family. So let's just keep everybody in prayer. And I keep everybody in prayer. I keep you all guys in prayer. But right now, who knows? It's in God's hands. That's the only way I know to keep my sanity. I live by myself. I don't speak to anybody except for Lynn. and maybe one of my neighbors. So the solitary confinement, so to speak, it does get to you after a while if you're not accustomed to it or acclimated to being, you know, socially by yourself. But I praise God for this church too. So this works out fantastic for me. This is the closest thing I've been to speaking to a person. So thank God for that too. Anyway, happy Sabbath. Hugs and love to all. God bless.
Well, God bless you too, dear sister, and thank you for your prayers, and you are indeed in our prayers. And we'll be adding those that you mentioned to our prayers as well. And praise the Lord for the angels of mercy coming to help you with your battery problem. And that's just amazing that, you know, if it's your starter that needs to be reversed, or in other words, it needs to be turned the opposite way for a few turns, that involves turning the fan belt that connects to the starter. And no, that's wrong. That connects to the alternator, and the juice would go to the starter. So he would have to have the hood up or crawl underneath the car to get to the starter, which is quite a feat. It's not
Brother
something.
Rob, yeah. I'm telling you, I didn't even use jumper cables, nothing. And this is the God's honest truth. I would not lie to anybody about things like this to make an impression on them. No jumper cables. My hood was down because it was pouring torrentially rain. All this young man told me, he said, go in your car and sit down and close the door and the windows. And he said, it will be okay. And he said, start the car. And I said, I've tried to start the car. It doesn't start. He said, start the car. And I started the car, and it just started. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. And then he said, okay, are you fine now? I said, I'm good. Thank you. And then he jumped back in the car because he was wet and it was raining. And they just left. And I said, okay. And like, once again, to reiterate, you know, by the time I kind of got myself situated to leave and make sure everything was okay, because I was soaked, I looked like a little wet puppy out in the rain, they were gone. And I said, God, I said, you are always there for me. I don't know why I deserve your love and mercy, because if there was long suffering, God's already worn out that with me. But I praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord indeed. It's just, you mentioned that he said sometimes you just have to back up the starter in the opposite direction and then it will have enough to go forward. But you have to disconnect the starter from the, you know, where it's connected there to back it up. You just can't.
I could have misunderstood what he said, but okay. He had said something like that. But in the meantime, nothing was done like that. Nothing mechanically, nothing was done. So, praise the Lord. Now I can't find the little...
Praise the Lord indeed. That was definitely an answer to prayer. Without a doubt. Are there any other testimonies, any other thoughts, comments, questions, songs? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
I'd like to also reiterate and thank you, dear Sister Susan. I don't know how I could have forgotten, because it was a total situation this past Monday with the tornadoes. Literally, I've been working from home. And literally the sky started getting black and the winds kicked up and the rain. And then all of a sudden on the phone was emergency alert, tornado warning, not watch, warning. And I'm thinking, okay, where's my mom? Let's go to the inner room somewhere where there's not too many windows. And come to find out, yeah, one touchdown 3 miles from us. And then there was another one that touched down, I would say, about 10 miles from us. So we were kind of like in a triangle of these tornadoes, not just one. And I had to actually clock out from work, you know, and everything like that. So, yeah, praise the Lord for his protection and keeping, and definitely praise the Lord for how he sent the angel to help, you know, Susan with the situation with the car. Had to have been an angel. God is so merciful.
Amen. That is for sure. And he's been more merciful than we're aware of. So many areas the devil wanted to take our lives or to involve us in unnecessary entanglements or in disasters or injuries. And God has mercifully intervened and protected us, kept the devil from doing so, and we had no idea that he did that. So what a joy it's going to be to have some time with the Lord to say, could you please show me all the behind the scene things I was not aware of that were taking place? And he will. And we'll just fall that much more in love and grateful appreciation for his kindness. I mean, we can do so now through faith. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from all the unknowns. But we'll be able to know more at that time. What a wonderful, loving, kind-hearted Father we have.
There's a hymn that's in my mind right now, and I can't think of the name of it. It's, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful. So, is that it? Oh, but that's a good one, too.
Yeah, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I had to go through the whole stanza to get to the chorus. Hello, I don't have that one, but let me find it on the internet here in just a second. Would you like to start us off, dear sister?
Okay, let me see. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. When I was wandering darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. And heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. When heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. And the other hymn I was thinking of was The Love of God. Talking about that. And this hymn came to mind. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin.
Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, who write the love of the above, would drain the ocean dry. The scroll contained the whole, those stretched from sky to sky.
Will you, dear sinner, come to Christ just as you are burdened with sin? He gave his life a sacrifice to make you free, new life in him. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Amen. The love of God is infinite and eternal. And who are we that he should think upon us? But he does, all because of his love for us. And how can you not love him in return? Thank you, Father. Welcome back, dear Brother Dick and Sister Elaine. We saw earlier that there was a warning for tornadoes in your area, and we wondered if you were still kind of harassed by them. But we're so glad that you're back with us.
We have a squall line or something going through right now, and it was raining cats and dogs here a little bit ago, and of course we lost internet. I said, well, it's probably gone for the night. Should we go to bed? Sure as we do, it'll come back. And about that time it did.
Well, we're glad you're still with us and not sleeping. That way we don't have to worry about you. Are there any other songs or thoughts, comments, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones, before we have closing prayer? Please go right ahead.
I would like to tell what happened to my daughter not long ago. She's been going through a lot and sometimes questions the love of the Lord. She came out one morning to get into her car, and I don't know how it happened, but the car was running. The keys were in the car. She started out with a full tank of gas. And through the night, it ran down to 7 miles that she had left. She lives on a very busy street. That car could have been stolen. Too quick to talk about it. And I said, Terry, did you fall to your knees and thank the Lord? She said, boy, did I ever. So that was quite a testimony for her that the Lord does love her. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And we'll be keeping your daughter in prayer that she will recognize more and more the truth that God does indeed love her and is watching out for her welfare. And may that indeed lead her to give her heart completely to the Lord. So amen. Thank you for that wonderful testimony, dear sister. Are there any other testimonies or thoughts? Please go right ahead.
Well, I want to thank the Lord again for allowing us to be, away from bus driving. It's been the third week. And I rang my depot yesterday morning. And they said, oh, it looks like work might be coming back. So I'm really glad about that. And WA, though it's the biggest state in Australia, it's looking very good in terms of coronavirus. We've had a couple of days without anyone coming down with it. And it's very low anyway, but nevertheless, there have been people that have unfortunately died. So that's good for our economy. That means there'll be a bit more, less hazardousness, and hopefully those current laws set in will subside if I'm going back to bus driving. I just thank God. I think I finished issue 5 for the magazine Truth is Truth, trying to get ahead so I can just stay out there once they're printed and hopefully giving them door to door. I'm hoping it's a real helpful magazine for people that are Christian and non-Christian. That's wishful thinking. But, I was reading last night, I think it was to Sister Lucy, that God wants us to be beyond what we even think of experiencing in Christ. And I said, can you imagine that, Lucy? I said, even your imagination, he wants you to go beyond that. You want him that much more. And, we're told in Ephesians 3:20 that he's able to give you more than you ask or think, but it's only for those who are looking to him to do such, to the advancement of his glory. And if we're doing that, obviously we're not living to glorify ourselves.
Well, praise the Lord, dear brother, that you're up to issue 5 already. And when they get published, even if it's just one at a time, be sure I'm on the list to receive one. So thank you, brother. And we will indeed be keeping each one in prayer as they go out, either on the internet or door to door, that many precious souls will come into a knowledge of the truth and become converted to Jesus before it's too late. So, amen. Well, it's been a wonderful church service, dear ones. Thank you so much for your participation and fellowship, and looking forward to having you back in fellowship here in what, about 14 hours from now? But it's time for closing prayer, and please bow your heads and your knees. And precious Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, watchful care, and rulership in our lives. Thank you for keeping the devil at bay, telling him this far and no further. And we thank you for watching over us. I pray, dear Father, that you will continue to mercifully send the last message of warning through your messengers, through the silent messengers, far and wide. Thank you for the blessing of the internet, that people all over the world can come into connection with the truth that would otherwise have great difficulty in coming into contact with it. Thank you that you're in control of your great work and for allowing us to play a small role in helping you to seek and to save the lost. And please bless our efforts at getting the truth out, that many more precious souls will escape from Babylon directly into the loving, embracing arms of our Savior. And thank you for your multiplying blessing in achieving this, and that we're a day closer to the ending of the great controversy. Be with all of those who have requested prayers. Be with those that are in the valley of decision whether to follow the truth or not. And I pray that you'll pour your spirit out upon them in a marvelous manner, that they will clearly see the straight, narrow path that ends in life and have the extra courage and divine grace to say yes and to follow. Thank you for bringing us safely through another week to another blessed Sabbath day. And please continue to dwell with us and allow us to dwell with you. And may this union between each one and God strengthen and grow and increase and never stop. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Dear ones, may God bless and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee. Come what may, keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away.